Parenting experience has made me look at my insecurities and made me want to grow as a person. I'm a lot more in tune emotionally. My husband, on the other hand, still can't even apologize when he's wrong or when we have an argument. I'm holding it together for the kids, but I'm worried that this is not a sustainable dynamic. What do we do when we change as people after kids?
Welcome to Parenthood, where each week we explore the lives of Aussie mums and dads and what's really going on behind closed doors. I'm your host, Leonie Akidinor, mum of two, business owner and relationship coach. This segment is Real Talk, where Liv and I discuss the trials and tribulations of parenting. Let's begin.
Welcome to the show.
Real Talk.
Why did we?
Why do you look like me with your black top on and I'm wearing a black top? It's like we have this.
I mean, dark chocolate, white chocolate.
Salt and pepper.
That's just you and I. We're just in sync, babe.
Well, maybe. Is it because we're talking about more of a heavy topic today? And we're trying to, like, you know, bring the colour?
Yeah. Or we're in mourning. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But I do like black.
Love
you know
it.
This.
No, love it. Very, very on brand for Melbourne. For those of you who don't know, Melburnians do love a bit of black. Yes. So we've just had school holidays. How'd you go? It's a lot to juggle, mate. It's a lot.
That's the first school holidays of, yeah, having the preppy home, obviously, and then juggling the kinder boy. Mm. We made it.
Yeah.
Bit of pre-planning, holiday program, worked a treat. Yeah. You get through it. You just got to power on.
100%.
How about you?
So powered on? We powered on, and we're quite well versed in this because obviously Noah has been having school holidays for some time, having being ELC. At ELC. Mm-hmm. But I have to tell you about this argument that we had literally a few days ago. Here we go. All right, everyone, buckle on in.
Jules? Is this a Jules thing? Maybe Jules?
Yeah, okay. So this is the thing, right? So we ended up having a 48-hour argument over making the bed. So,
what?
Like,
making the bed.
Over, okay.
Over
so
whose
let
job
me,
it
let
was?
Me rewind. Okay. So, my thing had been, I've been juggling a lot on school holidays with the kiddos. Jules's job's a little bit more, less flexible. He works in a corporate environment. I work for a family business. So, I've got a little bit more flexibility. Yeah. So, anyway, naturally, I do more at home.
Yeah.
But one thing I really wanted him to do when he wakes up in the morning before he goes to the gym is make the freaking bed. Why? Because of a number of reasons. But
it's a good habit.
I like a clean
start
room.
Your day, correct?
I often work out in our room, but he doesn't. Yeah. He didn't know that at the time because I just changed my schedule to work out in our room. So anyway, I kind of probably, I won't say maliciously, but I was kind of, there was a little bit of resentment behind my text message. He was at the gym. I was like, I'm so dumb. This is the second time I've had to make the bed before you go to the gym. I'm not into this. And so I sent a text and I was like, I would really appreciate it if you would just make the bed before you leave in the morning, like make the bed. You know, it's 2 minutes, right?
I'm not asking for much. Been your friend for a very, very long time. I can't help but sympathise with Jules. Or maybe I'm just imagining Jules when he got this text message. He would have been like, what's their problem?
Yeah, that's exactly the reaction. What? And I was like, what do you mean, what's my problem?
Okay.
I just asked you to make the bed.
What was going on here?
Okay, I felt completely squeezed. I felt I was doing a lot more at home, and I felt I was asking for one simple thing, make the bed, right? Make the
bed.
I'm
doing all of these things.
And why should I have to explain it to you why I need you to make the bed, okay? Just make it, right? Just make it. So anyway, he comes home. Oh, I don't see the big deal. I'd make it before I go to work. Just what difference does it make? And I'm there going, I'm sorry. First, he's like, if you could just explain it to me. And I'm like, I shouldn't have to explain it. And this is where I think I read wrong. I probably tripped up a bit because I was like, I shouldn't have to because I'm asking you for one simple task whilst I'm running circles around you.
Yeah. Great. It doesn't actually matter. I've asked you to do a thing. I need you to do
it. And I said, God, if I could go to the
gym.
Don't
give me back chat. Just do the thing.
Actually, I'm home with your children 4 days a week so that during school holidays because you can't leave work late. You can't be at work late. Mm. So I will be at work late and I will do 4 days and be do the drop-offs 4 days a week. If I could, I said to him, and this is when it started going a bit nasty, I said, I would love to. If you're happy, if you want me to make the bed and then go to the gym, I'm happy to do that. I'll do that role and you do the drop-offs. How does that sound? And he's like, you don't have to get all narky and that. And he's like, I'm just asking a question. And I'm like, well, don't ask that question because it's grating. So there goes, and then we had a standoff and I was like, he's like, she's been completely unreasonable because he's So for his credit, he's probably like, where has this all come from? I thought everything was going swimmingly.
And this is conflict. The way to deal with this conflict is to step out.
That's right. But then I step out and seethe, whereas he steps out like a normal person and kind of like moves on. So he gets home that night. He's like, all right, hey, how are the kids? And I'm like, still seething. Like, and he's like, wait, you held onto the bed thing all day. And I'm like, we did not resolve it. And I, like, the issue I've got here is that, like, we haven't resolved it. You still think I'm crazy for asking you to make the bed. If there's no resolution here. And so, long story short, he's like, why do we have to resolve it?
Were you working yourself up, or were you more upset when he got home that night, or had you calmed a little bit?
I was. Oh, that's a good question. I was probably more upset because in the end he ended up just storming out. Like, we had Mexican standoff and he storms out. And he's like, okay, my crazy wife. And I'm like, steam coming out of ears. And so by the time he comes home and acts like nothing's happened, I thought he'd come home and say, hey, Leonie, you know, this morning, all right, one thing I just wanted to ask you is next time if you want me to do something, just kind
I'm
of simmer
it.
I just need to know. Right. And then I probably would have been like, all right, fair enough. I guess I was a little bit resentful that I'm doing more. I'll let you know next time why I'm asking you to do something. And I thought we'd have that conversation. But he kind of just comes, swaggers on in. How are the kids? Nothing's
and
wrong.
And so were you then upset that he left
angry
suddenly
and then
angry.
Kind of expected me to sweep it under the rug, and it's never about the bed. It's never about, like,
no,
you hear about
not.
People who get divorced over, like, the teacup not going in the dishwasher. Yeah. It's not about the teacup, mate. It's about all the things that led up to the teacup moment. Yeah. So that was our teacup
did
moment.
You know, could you feel yourself building to this?
Definitely.
Like, was there
definitely. But do you know what I do? Because I'm that, I know we probably all do it to some extent. I just hold it in. Well, it doesn't matter.
Like your burnout, Lane.
Yeah, right.
I'm seeing a theme with
you're
you.
You're capable. Just keep going.
Just keep going. You can do this, don't
and
complain
then, until the lid pops off, and then you're like,
pressure
actually
valve.
I'm not okay because you didn't make the bet. So anyway, long story short, that's my gripe. But look, I mentioned this story because I feel like there's so many people out there who might be listening and who might be holding onto this resentment, and I feel like, I mean, you could probably tell me a million.
I would just tell you a really quick one that I should have shared a lot sooner than this. It actually happened over the summer holidays. We went away to the Mornington Peninsula, and I had said to Mark, pack the coffee machine because I don't want to spend $6 every morning twice a day buying coffee, waste of money. Yeah. So he did pack the coffee machine, but he forgot to pack the milk frother and the actual thing that goes into the coffee machine, and I lost it. And my parents were on this holiday too. They witnessed me lose it. I actually asked him to drive back to Melbourne. to go and get the milk frother and whatever that little thing. Oh, he did it. But for me, like, that was the pressure valve. Because, like, I packed the kids, I'd done this, I'd got all
the
food. $6
coffee you could have bought.
Like, it was the freaking principle that I asked you to do one thing and you couldn't even do that. And I was happy. After he came back, he left 5 o'clock in the morning and my mum was just like, you are horrible. Like, how could you do this? He's the nicest man on the planet. I was like, he's the nicest man on the planet, but he's disorganized as hell and he should have remembered to pack the milk frother. So I was happy. The holiday resumed. Yes. It was fine. Thankfully, we were so close to Melbourne.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big drive.
Yeah,
but people might think that I'm wicked, but it just pushed me way over. Yeah,
because
so
we
I
didn't
you.
Speak
I
about
you.
It before and try to, you know. So I think that's the thing. And we got a DM today, and this is what I want to sort of speak about with you, Liv, from someone who is feeling the tension in their relationship.
I love these. Send them in, people.
Yeah, everyone else. Honestly, if there's things that you're struggling with, or you're finding challenging in relationships or otherwise, we're here for you.
Okay,
we can relate.
Read
so
out
this
what
DM
they said.
Said, "I've been with my husband for 10 years, and we now have 2 toddlers. We have changed as a couple since kids. The parenting experience has made me look at my insecurities and maybe want to grow as a person. I'm a lot more in tune emotionally. My husband, on the other hand, still can't even apologize when he's wrong or when we have an argument. I'm holding it together for the kids, but I'm worried that this is not a sustainable dynamic. What do we do when we change as people after kids?" Which I think is so relatable. Like, when we have kids, we grow as people. We either grow and change in a similar direction, or sometimes it's a bit amiss.
I feel that completely. There are so many. I've been reading a lot about this recently, and I was talking about the Esther Perel podcast too, and she talks a lot about the different seasons of your life. Let's just reflect on when we were 16, guys were 16, didn't necessarily have the emotional development of us. It's kind of the same, like different seasons of your life, different growth at different times. You're not always in the same place, I guess. I've been thinking a lot about that, and there's obviously lots of other things going on for you individually and then together as a couple and as a family unit. There was one thing when I was looking at this that I picked up that I think is interesting to kind of talk about as a starting place. My husband, on the other hand, still can't even apologize when he's wrong or if there is conflict. Mm. That's such a big thing you just spoke about in terms of the Mexican standoff, that can be really hard in couples. And Mark and I experienced that too from time to time, where we both just feel like we are right and no one is going to back down. Yeah. It's a really, really hard thing to work through.
It's really hard. And when you hold on to that standoff, it was okay before we had children, but now we're starting to impact, without potentially unintentionally, impact the family dynamic, right? And is that really fair? And so I find I'm so incredibly stubborn, and I have to give it to Jules. He's most of the time will be the one to reach out for the with waving the white flag and going, come on, this is silly. And it always is silly, right? Yeah. But every now and then, I mean, I try to do it too, because I find we want to short circuit that as much as possible and get over who's right or wrong or what was miscommunicated.
Because often it doesn't actually matter. Like, no one's right and no one's wrong. And probably what you're hoping to achieve is some level of compromise or acceptance.
A learning from the argument. And this is what was so frustrating to me at the time, and why I held onto this, you know, anger for 48 hours with the bed thing, was that I was like, you don't seem to want to learn from this experience so that we don't repeat it down the track. Yeah. I want us, if we're going to take the time to have a friggin' argument, let's work out perhaps next time what we could do differently. Yeah. And we finally got there 48 hours later, because Jules was like, you're just now nagging me, you're just holding on to rubbish. And I'm like, no, but it's not about holding on. It's I want to get to a resolution. Yeah, we've resolved it. Who cares? The bed's made. No, it's not about the how do we resolve. And so to your point, it's right or wrong's kind of bullshit.
It doesn't actually matter.
No.
And this kind of like discussion, or it's not necessarily conflict, but it's a built-up frustration that's perhaps getting worse, not better.
Mm.
And the only way that it can get better is to just deal with it, right?
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing to do, to rip that band-aid off and say, I am feeling like this. Yeah. You know, that argument that we had last week about the bed, well, what I needed from you was to acknowledge the way that I was feeling and for us to find the way that we were working through.
Yeah.
And whether that's a facilitated conversation with therapy, if it is getting to the point within your couple that, you've obviously hit some roadblocks, or just putting, your big girl pants on or big boy pants on and saying, hey, I think we're not working as well together as perhaps what we want. Because when you enter a partnership and you have kids, I know we all agree that we're working our butts off to make this work, and relationships, as we've spoken about so much on the pod, are hard.
Yeah, totally.
And you do grow as people and you evolve. And yes, when you have kids and don't have as much time for each other, it's just not the same. Like, it's not the same as what it was.
It's not
and
the
that's
same.
Sad. And you get all the feels, but it's also happy because, relationship and family's evolving. But there's a lot here. And I think so many people be thinking, oh yeah, I've absolutely been there.
Yeah. One thing that when I think about this situation and others is that often if you are trying to communicate, and I really should listen to my own advice, guys, but if you are sort of wanting to start having that conversation around, okay, well, I'm feeling this way. Firstly, I mean, we always say try to find a time in which you have more than 15 seconds where you're going to be uninterrupted.
Yeah.
So perhaps it's a time when you're going for a walk and the baby's in the pram, or maybe it's a time that you're fortunate enough to go for lunch together or a coffee or whatever. So you don't want to open the can of worms, be interrupted by the children, and then you're just left with the Mexican standoff sort of thing. But when you are having this conversation, and in this instance with the bed, because Jules was so relentless with not understanding where I was coming from, I was the one that had to eventually go, white flag is being waved. Jules, the reason why you know, I got upset was this. And I also said to him, what can I do? I know that in that situation, I wasn't perfect either.
Yeah.
What I'd love from you is that next time X, Y, Z. But you tell me, I mean, maybe you thought my tone was aggressive or maybe my text message was aggressive. Tell me so I can be aware. So you're kind of giving the other person an opportunity to kind of weigh in.
Yeah. Do you have to find yourself really managing yourself in those interactions because you are still feeling frustrated?
And big time.
It's kind of like you know you have to do those things. Yes, honey, I really want to understand your point of view and your experience of like semi-bad behavior, but I don't really because I still feel like I'm right. But I, you know, there is positive intent, but it's still really hard.
This is where time. How do you show him that you're listening? Well, I can't. So it was 48 hours later that I was able to kind of go, all right, this is draining my life right now. We are arguing over absolutely nothing and I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
So now I'm waving the white flag and now I genuinely just want this to be over.
Yeah.
And often I think that's what it is. Some people can do it in the moment. I'm so fiery. I'm so passionate. Yeah. He loves that about me, but it's also got a shadow side.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, don't poke the bear, mate. when the bear's poked, it's not fun. So the point is, if we can kind of, I mean, that would be a tip, I guess, to this person listening, perhaps look at ways to communicate.
Because you don't want to just kind of accept it. And like hearing from this listener, like she's saying that, you know, she's holding it together for the kids. Like that kind of language is kind of more dire, you know, in that this is a big fracture within our life and how I'm feeling.
Yeah.
Like it's at a point of, really needing to pause and sharing that with her.
I think you made a good point. Absolutely. And if it is getting dire and if you're feeling like this, you know what, this is too much to handle for me on my own.
It can sneak up on you too.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, often you sit there and go, how did we get here? Yes. Like how didn't I catch it? You know, we all know that, we've been there within our relationships, whether it's current or previously, that had I caught this earlier, we wouldn't be in the position that we're in.
Yeah.
So you can't brush it under the carpet.
You can't.
And it's just the easy, that's the, like, we all choose to do that from time to time. Yeah. So you just can't take it on, or not now, or we're going away in 3 months, so I'll deal with it then.
Yeah.
But you've got to deal with it in the moment.
In the moment.
It'll only get worse.
If you feel as though you need support, obviously there are, you know, counselors, therapists, other people out there that can support as well. Mm. You don't have to do this on your own.
Mm.
Another thought that came to mind as well is, as we're talking about growing apart, I mean, I've heard from friends and things like, you know, we grew apart, not necessarily because one person is, you know, being more stubborn than the other, but perhaps it's, you know, I feel that he's so ambitious now that he might be prioritizing, or she might be prioritizing work over what I feel is should be our core value, which is family.
Yeah.
So there are things like that where one person's trying to grow, you know, in one direction and the other person's like, we've just got this beautiful family. Can't you be more present? Like you would hear things like that all the time as well, Liv.
All the time. So it's... Yeah, we've spoken previously about how do you keep the spark alive, or how do you ensure that you're connected? And it's just so important. You know, we talk about you should go on dates. You actually have to do those things to kind of come back together and make sure you're on the same page.
Because
often you're not self-aware, and I know I'm certainly like this, that I can throw myself completely to work and family is not as present as what it should be.
Yeah.
And it takes Mark to say, you've been really absent or busy or stressed or... Yeah, you know, your behaviour's been atrocious, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
For me to snap out of it and realise. So the more you can communicate like that and do it without me then jumping down his neck, which I would do. Don't you know how hard I'm working? Everything I do is for this family, which is my driver. Yeah. Everything I do is to give our family a better life.
Yeah.
But what's the cost of that?
That's the thing.
And then making sure that he wants that to be the that you're on the same page, that that's the commitment or the spend or the output that you're both doing to get to the end goal of whatever that might be.
Or it might mean a change in routine if you're there going, okay, well, yes, I am working really hard, and the other person's like, yes, but hold on, our family, you might go, well, that compromise, all right, fine, I have to do, you know, I agree to do two drop-offs a week.
Or I have to stop.
I'm going to be home for, I'm going to go to the swimming lessons.
That's often what it is. Mark will say, I am working hard too, but I am finding ways to make it work for this family.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I got it.
Yeah, and sometimes it's in partnership, it does have to be built into the routine that you start feeling like, okay, this is a little bit more equitable now. And, you know, I even think about it even on another topic. a lot of friends had mentioned to me, private versus public school, for example, their partners might be more adamant one way or the other, and they disagree with that. These are the complexities that we experience as parents, you know, and you're not necessarily, when you're meeting someone, you're about to walk down the aisle, go, hey, so we're doing private or public school if we have money in the world.
You don't talk about parenting style, really. No. Like, there are so many things that you don't talk about.
Yeah.
Oh, do you want to have kids? Yeah, I want to have kids.
Yeah, cool. Okay,
cool. See you there. Next minute, we got a baby. Oh, God, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to raise this little human?
Yeah.
And, you know, your needs, like just going back to our own personal growth, that changes too, right? Mm-hmm. Like the person, your needs 10 years ago might be different to what they are now, right? And communicating that and saying, well, I'm not actually the same person that I was 10 years ago and this is where I'm at now is very, very important too, I think.
100%. I think, there are so many complexities. So to this person who called in, we so, so get you. And hopefully our examples of our disagreements behind closed doors has made you feel a little less alone in yours. But fundamentally, I think that what we've realized is, you know, over time is that you just don't want it to build up, that there are resources out there that can support you if you're feeling like it's getting a little bit too much as well.
Yeah, you've got to pour everything in to the situation to fix it before putting your hands up and going, this is too hard. Yeah. And this person is obviously really there in the, where do I go to from here? So external resources definitely feel like the way to go. And I don't condone alcohol usage, but a glass of wine with a girlfriend who will sympathize and likely tell you that she's feeling, a similar thing, whether it's now or earlier, I think will definitely help. There's ways forward. You just got to tackle it head on.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
Absolutely. And look, we love to hear from you, like Liv said. So if you are experiencing anything, hit us up in our DMs and we could even bring that topic to the pod. So we'll speak again, Liv.
Bye. See you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe, leave us a rating or review, and share it with your friends. Want to contribute to the conversation? Hit us up on Instagram at ParenthoodPod and join our Facebook group. Until next time.
Thanks for listening.
The Parenthood Podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land we produce on, the land of the Wurundjeri people. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging.